Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the year 1991, at the beginning of the year, my mother, who was quite a spiritual woman, someone we always look to for guidance, declared that for the Gibson family, 1991 was the year of the Trinity. Now, she didn't mean that everything would happen in threes. What she meant was that somehow the Gibson family would have special revelation of God, that God would show himself in such a way that would be specific to our family. Now, we, her children, who loved her and honored her, said, "That's nice, Mom," and rolled our eyes in our heads. We just thought maybe she was having problems. We didn't think this was quite something that we wanted to get into, even though I was a pastor at the time. I was in my first church, and in 1991, in the beginning of the year, in January, the family experienced an unexpected tragedy. And we did have a revelation of God in that tragedy. We understood God to love us. I remember asking the question that is so often asked, why us? Why my family? Why me? And the answer was, well, why not you? Even though you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that does not make you immune to life's difficulties and life's tragedies. I had a special revelation of eternity and what our hope is all about in those times of sorrow. In 1991, I was 35 years old, and I had determined that I was going to be delightfully single for the rest of my life. And in 1991, I met my husband. And I learned more about God's grace and about God's humor in that. In 1991, I had a delightful friend, a friend that I loved very dearly. And she was shattered by life. She was shattered by love. She was angry. And she thought that her life was over. She was close to 50 years old. And in 1991, she met the love of her life, and we were married 3 weeks apart. In 1991, as Bob and I were looking forward to our married life, I received something in the mail. And I opened it up, and it was a call to another church. And the church's name was Trinity. And at that point, I looked up to heaven and said, "You think this is funny, don't you?" And so we started a new life that year in 1991. We went to a church in the suburbs of Maryland and spent most of our married life there and raised our family there. And it was the year of the Trinity. We learned some new things about God and about how God works, and I'm sure Bob can tell you other stories from his point of view in meeting me about how God works. We each, if we're open to the Spirit of God, we get a revelation. That's what Trinity is about. It's about God revealing God's self in ways that we can understand. And there were two men in the Bible readings this morning that had an encounter with Almighty God. And the first was a priest named Isaiah. He was in the temple that day, probably doing what he had done for so long. Isaiah knew what he was going to be doing for the rest of his life from the time he was a young child. Priests in those days did not aspire to the ministry. They didn't get a separate call. They weren't told you would do well in the ministry. They were born into that position. And so from a young child, Isaiah would have been in the temple, and he would have been trained by his father, and he would have been handling all the holy things. And here he was in a year that was cataclysmic for his nation. A great king had died, and he was doing his priestly duties, and all of a sudden, In that space, God revealed himself. And the Bible says the temple shook. And Isaiah, this holy man, when he met God, what does he say? I'm a mess. The minute he sees the magnificence of God, all the things that he thought of himself, all the righteous things he thought that he was good and that he was a perfect man and he was a priest and he was a representative of God until he met the living God. And Isaiah changed professions at that moment when God said, "Who's going to speak for me?" Instead of a priest, he became a prophet. Now let me tell you the difference. The priests were respected. The priests had a good life. The priests were the elite in the community. Nobody wants to hear a prophet, because a prophet has to tell you what you don't want to hear. And prophets risk their lives. We have a history. If we look back in our histories, we see that the prophets were the ones who were stoned. The prophet, and I'm not talking about drunkenness now. The prophets were the ones. Isaiah, the history says Isaiah was sawed in two. Can you imagine? There were prophets who were burned at the stake. This was not a thing that you wanted to do. No one said, "I think I'll grow up and be a prophet." But when he saw Almighty God, his whole life changed, and he wanted to do what God asked him to do, and that was to speak the words of truth to all who had ears to hear. And if you read the book of Isaiah, some of the most beautiful words are in that book. And in the eyes of the and mind of the Spirit, he's taken to another time, and he declares that light is coming into the world. About Jesus. He was given that enormous privilege. Now, the next man does not see the temple shaken. The next man does not see angels flying. His name was Nicodemus, and he goes at night to a guy that everybody's talking about and there's some controversy about. And he stands in front of this man who is the light that Isaiah was preaching about, and he does not know it. All he knows is that he's puzzled. And so he wants to meet this man face to face. And he's meeting the light of the world. And Jesus said to him, "You're not going to see until you're born from above, until you're born again." The modern church has misunderstood those words, because we think it's for the outside. We think it's for the heathen, you know, those people who don't come to church, those people who don't know Jesus. We preach to them to be born again. But Nicodemus was an insider. He was a religious person. He was more righteous than most of the people that Jesus met. He was a good man. And he said, "You're the one who needs to be born again. You need to have a change from the inside out." So often when we come to these ancient practices like communion, it's a 2,000-year-old practice. And we can handle the holy every Sunday and not meet God. And Jesus says to us, "You've got to have a change. Every time I meet God, I'm to change." Christianity is not getting our ticket punched so we can get to heaven. It's having an encounter every time we come together with the living God. Someone used to call it God sightings. Where will God reveal himself to us this week? Those of you who've come here on vacation and go to the wonderful dock in this beautiful area, will you see the hand of the Creator? Those of us who work here, and when we're changing the beds in the hotel rooms, will we see the living Christ and the love of God flowing in our hearts? We have an opportunity as we take communion today to see beyond the symbolism and see the living God. I hope that this year, for some of us here, is the year of the Trinity, the year when God will show us something within our lives and we can see clearly the grace and the love and the power of the living God. And when we see that, we're never going to be the same. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to this holy place, it is so easy for us to be caught up in the ritual, to be caught up in the sameness that we lose sight of you. We ask that with the prophet Isaiah and with the Pharisee Nicodemus, you will again show us yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.